Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Jesus commanded us to do this. We get together, we pass around bread, we pass around wine or grape juice, and we remember what he did on that cross for us so long ago. As you notice, we mix the secular with the sacred because we believe all of it's sacred. That all of it matters. And it's beautiful art, and we're so grateful. Beautiful music today, guys. And Jesus gave himself for us. You want to know how big our sin problem was? Look at how big the solution was. The solution was the God of heaven had to leave heaven and come to earth to pay the penalty that we owed him. He took it on himself, became a man, died on a cross, was resurrected from the dead, and has been welcomed back into heaven and will accept anyone who comes to him. He's opened the door. And so we remember him today. So Pastor Gall, would you come? And let's see, Dan, can you serve with us today? You up to that, bud? And Mark is here. Rick is gone. Don, would you serve with us again, too? Aaron, would you serve with us since you're close here, too, please? Right here. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Pastor Gall, would you pray for us? Let's pray together.
Father, words are not sufficient to understand the depth of your commitment. Father, not only did you commit yourselves to us, but you put it in writing. Yeah. We're thankful for all that you've done, and we're thankful for this time to remember, to not forget. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Been going through all these memories this week. You know, he had to do boards for the funeral home, and of pictures. Open all those boxes. Up in the attic, down on my knees, lifetimes of boxes, timeless to me. Letters and photographs, yellowed with years, some bringing laughter, some bringing tears. Life never changes the memory, the faces of loved ones who bring to me. All that I come from and all that I live for, all that I'm hoping to be, my precious family is more than an heirloom to me. Wise men and shepherds down on their knees, bringing their treasures to lay at his feet. Who is this wonder baby yet king, living and dying? He gave life to me. Time never changes the memory of the moment his love first pierced through me. Telling all that I come from and all that I live for, and all that I'm I'm hoping to be. My precious Jesus, he's more than an heirloom to me. You see, my precious Jesus is more than an heirloom to me. Point of the song is that we don't inherit our faith. We might be taught about the Christian faith by our parents, by loved ones, but it's personal. We individually believe in Christ. We're called to trust him one by one. You're not a believer, you're not a Christian because mom and dad were, or grandpa and grandma were. You are a Christian because you have put your personal faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, lived in that body, and that body was given as a sacrifice, take the bread, eat it. And then the Lord took the cup. You know the hardest part about communion is not burning your nose. Just thought I'd say it. I'm leaning way back here. The Lord took the cup. He said, this cup represents a new covenant in my blood. Watch your note. Jesus offered himself, his body and his blood. Pastor, would you pray for us? Thank you.
Father, what can we say that hasn't been said? You said it all, and you paid in blood.
Yeah.
So we thank you for this opportunity to be what we are because of what you've done. Forgiven. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys, for listening. And because of this, we've got this future, you guys. We haven't sung this in a while. I want you to sing it like you're a Baptist and you mean it. Some glad morning when this life is over, I fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I fly away, sing it out. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. Like a bird, like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah. By and by, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, big finish, I'll fly away. Good singing, you guys. It's true, too. Can't wait for that. What can take away my sin? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
If you believe that, take the cup, drink it. He said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. God bless you all. Thank you. We're going to open our Bibles for a couple of moments. to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We're going to read the scriptures together. Let's pray. Shall we pray? Lord, this is your word, and we are your people. Thank you for the hands that delivered us your word. Thank you that holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Paul's statement that all scripture is God-breathed. Thank you for the writing of the psalmist. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Thank you for this. Bless us as we read in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read one of Jesus' stories that you may not have considered before. There are three in this chapter. You've considered the first and the third, but I bet you haven't considered the second one. Let me read it to you. A woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents, turns around. An interesting, wonderful story. How many of you have been out to see the movie of Mr. Rogers so far? How many of you? Some of you have seen it. I hear it's wonderful. The documentary on him was fantastic. You know what I loved about Mr. Rogers is that, first of all, he was really boring to me. I'm sorry. I got to be honest. I get this ADD thing going on. It was hard for him to hold my attention. But for those of you who are normal, I know it was wonderful, and you enjoy them. And the cool thing about Mr. Rogers is that he would tell these simple stories. And they were simple. But behind them, there were these profound truths. Remember when racism was going on, raging in America in the 60s? And he welcomes in his African-American, either policeman or mailman. And they come in and, was it Trace? The policeman. And he welcomes him in and it's so hot. And he says, "Why don't we take our shoes off and put them, I've got this little pool of water. Let's put our feet together." And that was profound in that day. This guy, talking to little children, talked about death, about divorce. He did a show on assassination. How do you do that? But he did it all. He would tell these simple stories that had profound meaning. And I'm looking forward to seeing the movie, hopefully this week. Well, Jesus, in a much bigger way, told stories. They call them parables. And you've heard of the parables of Jesus, but there are some lesser-known parables. And this is one of them, the parable of the lost coin. The woman that lost one of her 10 coins, and she lit the lamps, and she swept the house until she found that thing. And when she found it, there was a big party. Well, there's some really interesting things that you and I need to see. I want you to see the setting. Why did Jesus tell these three stories? Well, I'll tell you why. I'm glad you asked. Chapter 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, that is Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, that is the big time religious people, the ones that had it all figured out. Oh, they had it all together. You know what they said? This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Oh, it was a setup. It set Jesus up to tell these three incredible stories. The parable of the lost sheep, also the parable of the prodigal son, but this one too, the parable of the lost coin. I don't know how you feel about you. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by this world. And you know, you might just be coming and just looking at this Jesus stuff now to just see if it's true, hoping that it is because you've heard some good things. Well, I got really good news for you today. As you enter this Christmas season, I want you to know something. I want you to know, first of all, that you, not forget about other people, I'm talking about you are loved. You want to see how God treats people who are messed up? The Pharisees, these religious people, I mean, they say negative stuff and they mean it in a bad way, but it's truthful. They said this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. To welcome means he gives them recognition. You've been around people you didn't want to be around? Have you been around them? And you, well, you know, you kind of try to be nice, but other than that, you know, you really wish they'd just go away. Not Jesus. If you come to him, he welcomes you. He acknowledges you. He doesn't just tolerate you. He recognizes you. You see that? You are loved. Another thing is this. The religious people freaked out because Jesus ate with them. In the Jewish world, that was a big deal. Because when you would make a covenant with someone, a business deal or any kind of promise, you would then sit down and have a meal together to like cap it all off. Jesus is sitting down and eating with these sinners. I love that. He's making a covenant of friendship. You are loved. I mean, I know we say it all the time. The word's kind of worn out. I know. But listen to this. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people, speaking to the Jewish people and to you and me. Get this. This is from chapter 43. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. What an incredible statement to make. Here's another one. You ready for this? You might not feel this way. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. There's a lot of little young girls around me now that are mothers, young new mothers for the first time. I was out in the front yard. Debbie and I have a new dog to aggravate Precious, the wonder dog. And I never did tell you what we named her, by the way. We were going, do you remember my dad punched out a friend at Fino's? I've told you that story before where my dad cocked some guy and knocked him down because he called him a name from high school that he didn't like. Yep, he did. They're both in heaven now. I'm sure they've worked it out. They were both Alzheimer's patients too, but we're on the way to the Michigan. So I was out in my front yard. I was trying to walk Precious, who's perfect, and then the crazy dog that doesn't know how to walk on a leash yet. And I was out in front of Steve and Ann's house, and their daughter-in-law came running out to me. They have a little grandson named Clayton. Sarah posts something every day, sometimes 2-3 a day, about how she cannot stand how much she loves this little boy. She's her whole world. I mean, she delights in him. She just, and of course, she loves Robbie, her husband, too, of course, tremendously. But this little guy has just, Clayton has just taken it, you know? It's a precious thing. I look at Cassie Cusk. I did their wedding years ago, a couple years ago. They had their first child, this little dude. And she is enthralled with this little boy. That's the way it's supposed to be. Well, I want you to know the Lord says, even if those girls can forget their kids, I will never forget you. To me, that's powerful. The truth of the matter is this. You're loved. I'm going to tell you something else. No matter what you think about you today, you are valuable. Now, what do you think God looks like when he looks at you? Okay, what does he look like? Angry in your eye? Disappointed? Unattached? Now I'm going to tell you how he looks at you. No matter where you are today, he is concerned about you because you're valuable. You are. All those concerned this week for Debbie and I and for the hundreds and hundreds of all of you that came to the funeral home and told us you were sorry, that concern is so comforting to me. And it's been so precious to us in this week of telling Dad goodbye. But we're so glad he's home and with my mom. But, you know, still there's that awful void because he's been such a big part of our life for our whole lives. Your concern comforts me. I'm going to tell you, there's somebody else who's concerned about you. And it's the Lord himself because you are valuable. Let me make, in this simple little story of the coin, this coin, listen to me, this coin did not lose its value because it was lost. It was precious, and it was still worth the same amount. It was not degraded or devalued because the coin was lost. It was valued. You're valuable no matter where you are. This coin, I'm sure, was very tarnished, but their tarnished life did not make it less valuable. God knows who you are. He made you. He loves you. He values you. I'm a woodworker. I brought another tool with me today. I have a zillion of these in my toolbox in my workshop. Before there was power, before electricity, well, there was always electricity, before we harnessed it, we used to do all this work with hand tools. And this is a molding plane from about 1760. So it's 250 years old. But, and it's wonderful, and it's worth $100 because of what it does. But there's this mark on it, John Cushman, on the front of it, just below the T. Hampton. Oh, yeah, I put my name on all of them. I'm going to be dead and gone. They're going to go, I wonder who that guy was. That's what they're going to do. But Mr. Cushman made planes in Philadelphia. There's only about 15 ones that museums have around the world. Somehow, I was at the Dixie Flea Market about 30 years ago, and in a bucket of rusted-out crap was this dirty plane. And I brushed away the front, and I saw that it was Mr. Cushman, and I couldn't believe it. $2. Okay. So the value of whose mark is on it. Jesus, when they were, you know, talking about not paying taxes, why, you know, is it okay to pay taxes? He said, show me the emblem, show me a coin. Whose image is on it? They said, Caesar's. Give to Caesar's what is Caesar's, but give to God that which is God's. The image on you is God's image. He created us, male and female, in his image. You are valuable because of that. You're loved. You're valuable. Do you feel lost? I got really good news for you. You are being searched for right now. This little old lady in this story, I love that Jesus used girls in a day when girls were completely devalued. I just love that he brings a girl into the story as the lead one. They didn't do that in Jewish literature. This is beautiful. He tells the story of this girl who is trying to find the coin. It's representative of God. Are you lost? The good news is someone searching for you. Maybe you're lost. Well, we're all lost. All people are lost. We're all sinners. But some of us are more lost than others because of what's happened in our life. And a lot of that isn't your fault. You're lost because of abuse. My dad was extra lost. You know, he had a huge drinking problem. It was not pretty 45 years ago at the Hampton House. He had something happen to him years ago that made him more lost than normal. He was 13 years old, and his brother was 7, and it was Christmas Eve. And they went to the store for Grandma. And in the midst of that trip, his little brother was hit by a car and killed, 1941. The family told my dad, "You killed your brother." Grandma was in bed for 2 years. It was awful. It was awful. He started working when he was 11 and brought all the money home to Grandma all the time during the Depression. But now he carried this extra burden. By the way, he was free of that this week when his brother put his arms around his neck. Can you imagine what that had to be like? Man! But I want you to know that drove my dad deeper into the bottle. He liked beer. But he started working with an old Scotsman by the name of Harry Clark, thick glasses. Always had a cigar. He always had a bottle of scotch in the cooler. And he taught my dad how to enjoy that, and he did to the full, to the disappointment of everyone else. But it killed the pain. There's another thing that made my dad more lost than normal, is that he went to these goofy churches that my grandma and grandpa drug him to. You see, it wasn't necessarily a good church. It was wherever church would let grandpa sing, okay? Shorty Hampton had to be in a quartet. And, you know, I'm sure that some of them were good churches, but one of the churches they attended, the pastor got one of the teenage girls pregnant, and they covered it all up. And my dad saw all of this. My dad saw all the evangelists that were coming through Pontiac in those years in the 30s and early 40s. And they were working these poor people who had no money, working them for money, trying to make money off them, pulling all these scams. He saw all of that. Because of that, because of his own grief and guilt, and because of his hatred for seeing the religious abuse, he was far, far away. But two things happened. Well, one thing happened from two people. Lloyd Hampton was loved. He was loved by a sweet girl named Margie, and through that, he came to find out that he was really loved by Jesus. And all of a sudden, the old man could put the booze down. My mother read him the letter. I've got this in my Bible. I thought I'd read it to you. This was September 9th, 2000, their 50th anniversary. We're all in Myrtle Beach together for a party. She had this on his pillow in the morning. "My dearest Lloyd, there are no words to express my feelings for you. For the past 50 years, you have been the light of my life, my inspiration and my hero. You are the most kind and considerate person I have ever known. I thank you for our wonderful children who love, admire, and respect you as much as I do. Until our marriage, I had no idea how wonderful life could be. Before you, I had nothing. Every day I thank the Lord for you, and I will love you forever with all of my being. Happy anniversary, sweetheart, Margie." Let me tell you, love like that will change your life. But bigger than that was that it helped Dad begin to put the booze down because he loved her, but then he found out that Jesus loved him and did not hold him responsible. And for others, the dumb stuff he'd done, he could be forgiven. Remember the day my mother called me from Florida and told me they'd gone forward in a church service there in Florida and come back to Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. Not only are you loved, not only are you valuable, but you are searched for right now. Someone's looking for you. So if you're being searched for, that means you can be found. You're not too far gone. I remember sitting with my friend Rudy in a rest home as he lay dying as a young man, dying as an extreme alcoholic. And I talked to him about Jesus. And in the last moments of his life, he kept saying, "Oh no, I'm too far gone. I'm too far gone." I said, "Rudy, you can't be too far gone because I'm here telling you about this. If you were too far gone, God wouldn't have sent somebody to tell you. You're not too far gone." And he said, "Okay, then pray with me. If that's true, I'll do it." And he received Jesus. Rudy's in glory because he was searched for. Okay? All right. Not only are you loved, valuable, and being sought after, but I got some more really good news for you. Do you know there are people you don't know who are pulling for you? Because it says here, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. You get that? There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who turns around. There are people that you can't see in another realm. I know they're different types of beings, but they're people, they're persons, and they are hoping for you. There are people in your life that don't put the hammer on you religiously, but they are praying for you and you don't even know it. They care about you deeply, and they want you to know Jesus. And they're getting on their knees at night, and they're saying, "Lord, please save her. Please help her to know that you love her. Bring her to you. Open her eyes. Open her heart." I'll never forget Debbie's Aunt Betty. After I had trusted Christ in September of 1971, she called me on the phone. "Oh, honey, I heard. I have been praying for you since I met you those months ago. I am so proud that you've trusted Christ." There are people everywhere that are pulling for you. So you are loved. You are valuable. You are being sought out. There are people saying, "Come on, give up. Trust Jesus. He died for you and was resurrected. Trust it." It's all happening. You are loved as you are. Get this. You are loved as you are, not as you should be. I'm going to say that one more time. You don't have to clean anything up for Jesus. You're loved as you are, not as you should be. You got that? And now I want to say something to the religious people that are listening. And it's this. Take the warning of the Pharisees. It's said here that they muttered. They muttered. That means they grumbled. "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Yeah, he do. Yes, he does. But the other one is this. They grumbled about it. They muttered. It is the actual word in Greek that is translated for the Hebrew word when they translated the Old Testament into Greek. They use this word, grumble, for what the Israelites did in the desert when they would not recognize the wonderful works of God. And God said, "You're going to wander in the wilderness until your body drops in the dust. You're not going into my promised land." If you think people earn their value by what they do for God or cleaning up their life, you totally miss the grace of God, and the judgment of God will come on you for that. You think you're going to make it because you're better, you know you're lost too. And your religious veneer does not protect you from the wrath of a holy God. I mean, he dealt with them. He'll deal with you too. So, quit it. Start realizing that he loves us who are lost. And only the lost can be found. Only sinners can be saved. And the reason Jesus came was for this one reason, to seek and save those who are lost. I got good news for you. You are loved, you're valuable, you're being sought after, and people are pulling for you everywhere. So if your grandma ever prayed for you, give up, because you're not going to be able to escape. Trust in Jesus. Let's stand together and we'll go home. Let's pray. You know, it's really simple, my friend. You just need to talk to Jesus, and you need to tell him that you need him. Lord Jesus, I am lost. I know I'm a sinner, and I need you. I turn to you. I open the door of this heart to you, and you know all the garbage in there. Come into my life. Be my Savior. I am yours. Take my life for you. It's simple, my friend. Just believe him. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time together. Encourage your people, those who are beaten down by this world and by their own struggles. Lift us up. We revel in your incredible mercy and grace for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.